This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've heard me talk about BetterHelp for a long time. What we've never done is look at what people say after they actually use it. You can check it out yourself at betterhelp.com/reviews. It updates every day. Hundreds of people describing how it has helped them in real time. The rating is what stands out. BetterHelp has an average live therapy session rating of 4.9 out of 5. Based on over 1.7 million client session reviews, more than 6 million people have used BetterHelp globally, and their therapists have at least 3 years and 1,000 hours of hands-on experience, plus the education, training, and certifications behind them. Answer a few questions, get matched with a therapist based on your needs, and switch therapists at any time. If it isn't the right fit, see the reviews. See what stands out and see if BetterHelp is right for you. Visit BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Longleaf pine country covers the western edge of Louisiana, up along the Texas line. In the first week of April, it is as pretty as any place in the South. The light stays late and turns gold in the pine tops. The wisteria hangs purple in the fence lines. And off towards the Gulf, the evening thunderheads stand up white as church clothes. The ditches singing with frogs. DeRidder, the seat of Beauregard Parish, is a sawmill town. The sawmills, mostly finished with long ago. Roughly 1 in 5 of its people live below the poverty line, close to double the national rate. Louisiana itself posts the worst poverty numbers in the country, year after year. The ground under the town has its own inheritance. This corner of the state was no man's land once. The neutral strip, an ungoverned seam between two empires. It was left for years to people who answer the law with distance. The sawmill boom that built DeRidder also staged the Grabow gunfight of 1912, a labor war that put four men in the ground, a few miles from town. And in the modern numbers, Louisiana has led the nation in murder for more than 3 decades straight. Inside those numbers runs a quieter count, listener. Most murdered women in America die at the hands of the men they know, inside their own homes. The most dangerous stretch of a failing relationship is at the end of it, the season when a man understands he is losing her. Louisiana stands near the top of the states where women are killed by men. The advice the culture gives such women runs 2 words long: just leave. There is another side to that advice, and in the spring of 2022, that side lived in a house on North Rich Drive. Ashley Fish was 28 years old, and DeRidder was her ground, a town built along southern lines, where churches outnumber the red lights. Everybody's mother knows everybody's business, and Friday night belongs to the high school. She was raised in all of it. She married Josh Fish in 2012, still a teenager. Over the following decade, the two of them built a life that fills a minivan. 4 daughters came, one after another, a house of girls. The family moved to West Texas when Josh took a job there. One of those relocations oil and industry impose on Gulf Coast families. For a while, the marriage traveled with them. She was a young mother of 4 in a flat new country far from the pines. In January of 2021, Josh Fish learned his wife had met a man through an online application. The marriage tried to survive it. There was marriage counseling and there was effort. And a couple of months later, there was an end. Ashley moved back to DeRidder with the girls, back to the Longleaf country, where spring arrives in March and the yards fill with azaleas, back to the town she knew. She filed for separation on the road to divorce. Josh secured a transfer to Beaumont, Texas, an hour and a half down the road, so he could stay close to his daughters. The two of them did a thing that broken couples are always urged to do and rarely manage. They co-parented, and they were good at it. The girls went between them, the workings of a divided family. The calls and the schedules and the handoffs, they all ran without violence, without drama. The divorce paperwork carried a condition that matters to everything that follows. Under the custody arrangement, Ashley was not permitted to have an overnight guest. It is a standard clause in 1,000 family court files, meant to steady the ground under the children while the adults rebuild. Break it, and a parent can be fined. Break it badly enough, and time with the children can be taken away. There was also the gun. Years earlier, in 2016, back when the marriage was whole, Ashley and Josh had bought a pistol together, a Smith & Wesson semi-automatic. In the South, a nightstand pistol can be furniture. That gun lived in her drawer, in her bedroom, for 6 years. Just another fixture of her life. The man from the online dating website was named Tyler Neil Durachowski, and he had come a long way to be in her life. He was from Oregon. He had been adopted at about 4 by Zygmunt and Teresa Durachowski, along with his twin brother and twin half-brothers, 4 boys from the same biological mother. His parents described him in the fondest terms. He told on himself when he got in trouble. He turned his grades around in high school and won an award for it. His mother called him funny, articulate, kind and gentle, a son who carried spiders outside rather than killing them. He went to college and dropped out in his second year to join the Navy, where he picked up medical training. The Navy and Durachowski parted ways after about 10 months. Honorably discharged, he worked afterward as an emergency room technician. He married in 2016. The marriage came apart in 2021, in significant part because of a woman in Louisiana he had met through an app, and that August, he was divorced. By then, he had already followed the new relationship south. In 2021, he moved from Oregon to DeRidder to live with Ashley into the house with the 4 girls. He landed in the deep south. He was 6'2" and 230 pounds. Ashley stood 5'3" and weighed 130. He would be in her life for 2 years. The relationship curdled the second year. They fought, and the fighting got worse. By the spring of 2022, Durachowski was talking about going home. Home meant Oregon. And that meant the ex-wife he had left for Ashley. He meant to try again with her. He packed the truck and left it sitting in the drive. That packed truck was meant as a promise. It says that leaving had already been decided, that the goodbyes are done or nearly done, that all that remains is a key in the ignition and a road north. He had been promising for days, and the woman in the house wanted that promise kept. He was also, every night he stayed, a violation of her custody paperwork. And he knew it. She knew it. The thing Tyler Durachowski reached for when the relationship failed was her children. He said it often. In the days before April 7th, he would call Josh Fish and tell him the truth, that he had been staying overnight at Ashley's house all along. In his own words later to police, he was going to mess her life up. The one thing Ashley Fish had rebuilt her whole world around was the one thing he knew how to reach. According to him, she reacted to the first threat 2 days earlier by taking the pistol from her nightstand, waving it, racking the slide, and telling him that was not going to happen. No one else saw it. April 7th was a Thursday, and by late afternoon, the heat was leaning in, the mockingbirds running through their stolen songs, the shadows stretching out across the yards. At 4:32, he called Josh Fish in Texas. Ashley texted Josh at the same moment and asked him not to answer. Josh, wanting no part of it, texted her back that he was not trying to get into her drama. She replied, "He won't leave." Josh let the call go to voicemail, and Durachowski left the message he had been promising. Threat executed. Whatever damage the truth could do to her custody arrangement was in motion. There was nothing left for him to extort with, and he still did not get in that truck. At 5:50, Ashley sent Josh a last text. She would have the girls call him soon, she wrote. She was trying to cook dinner. He should call when he was ready. And then a final line, patient and wary and contained. She was still working on the situation here. Her situation. Only one witness to what happened next is alive, and his version collapsed under the physical evidence. Sometime around 6 in the evening, the argument moved from the bedroom into the master bedroom. The pistol from the nightstand was out, and in that small tiled room, with four children elsewhere in the house, Ashley Fish was shot in the head, behind the right ear, at contact range, the muzzle pressed against her skin. She went down onto her left side on the bathroom floor and did not get up. In her right hand, her dominant hand, she was gripping her cell phone. Durachowski did not call for an ambulance. The Navy had trained him in medicine, and an emergency room had employed him in it, and he rendered no aid. What he did instead was procedural. He unloaded the pistol, racking out the rounds, and set the gun and its magazine on the bathroom vanity. He closed and locked the door with Ashley behind it. Then he walked out through the house where her daughters were, got into the packed truck, and drove. A neighbor's camera recorded the truck leaving at 6:18 in the long amber light of a Louisiana April, with daylight still in the sky. He did not drive to Oregon. He drove to the parking lot of a Burke's Outlet, and there, before any police, he called his ex-wife. He told her he was sorry for everything, that it had been a fight and an accident. He would later repeat that to detectives. He tried his father next and got no answer. Then he called the DeRidder police. The dispatcher, Officer Gladys Santiago, walked a jury through the call 2 years later.
Hi, I need to turn myself in to the police.
Okay.
I don't know how to do this.
Are you wanted? Do you have an active warrant?
No, I just committed a crime.
Okay, what crime did you commit?
I shot somebody.
Okay, where are you located?
I'm at Burke's Outlet in DeRidder. I'm in the parking lot, and I just am going to wait here to get picked up.
Okay, who did you shoot?
A woman.
Okay, what is her name?
Ashley Fish.
Corporal Josh Sanford was dispatched to Northridge Drive. The person who opened the door to him was Ashley's oldest daughter. She was 9 years old.
You all right, babe?
The door was locked in the room, and...
Okay, can you sit right here for me?
Yes.
Is anybody in there?
No. My sisters are inside right there.
Okay.
Eggs were burning and she's in there.
Okay, y'all come in here. Come right here.
No, I don't want to go.
Come here, stay in here.
The corporal went through the master bedroom, past a gun holster on the bed, and into the bathroom. He got the four girls to a neighbor's house before he went back inside.
254 City.
Come here. No. Come here. Come help me. Come help me. Do you know these children?
Yes, they're our neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah, like Matthew.
You got parents here?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Can you take them to a secure place for me? Was there anybody else here, baby?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Is there one victim or two?
I'm at Northridge.
City, do I have one victim or two?
So we need to clear the rest of the house. I'm under the impression there was a male here, too.
City police!
Hey.
City police!
Go right.
Wait for it!
See, when the glass was on the phone with him, I was under the impression there was a male subject that had been shot.
Check out in the backyard.
What's that, a smell?
Chocolate. Oh, they burned. Oh, they cook? Oh, okay.
Where's she at? She's in that bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else clear?
Everything else is clear.
Let me...
Hey, you want me to turn the stove off?
Yes.
Ashley Fish.
Nobody else. You said kids were in the house?
They're across the street. Okay. Ashley Fish. I'm assuming young, based off of what I'm seeing here.
I just went with her.
Did you?
Yeah.
So she's from East Boulder?
Yeah. And moved away.
She and he came to Josh Fish?
No, I don't think so.
She's your age, though, or?
Yeah, we graduated together, so we're about the same.
Heard you kind of saw some stuff, just a little bit. Not much, but you seen something happen next door?
Well, I was just on the line, saw, the car of the River Lee.
What's that?
The girls are at my house. Can you tell us what's going on?
It's not good.
Is she alive?
No, she's not.
Was she shot?
Yes.
She was out here earlier when about 5 o'clock or so. I saw her out here. Everything seemed fine. There was a truck. She has a significant other. She was going through a divorce. And they're legally separated, but he was here. The truck, black truck, was here.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think he shot her?
Well, I can't tell you a whole lot.
I got it.
So as long as the children are safe with you for now, we'll take care of it from there.
As far as I know her, oh gosh, I'm assuming that it was Tyler, the person that was here. I don't know if that was his truck. He usually drives a black truck. And then her husband's name is John Fish.
A week later, on the 14th of April, her funeral filled Shady Grove Pentecostal Church on Highway 26. Two reverends officiated. In the visitation the evening before, ran 4 hours.
If you're still comfortable talking to me, can you tell me a little bit about what happened?
Okay. Woman and I got in an altercation last night. Things were kind of falling out between the two of us, just relationally, and I was getting ready to move back to Oregon. Mm-hmm. So she pulled out, she had a gun in her drawer. She loaded it and was pointing it at me, and we started fighting, and went off.
He gave himself up without any problems.
And he told y'all that he did it.
Yeah.
I see the hair in it.
Yes.
I've called in the serial number. It's going to be a Smith & Wesson.
She's been here for a minute?
If I had to guess, I mean, because she's still having some coming out of the wound. She's still pretty warm. And if I had to guess, I'd say it's been between 45 minutes and an hour and 20.
That sitting right there?
Yes.
Alright. So once they run the strip, we'll be back out and we'll get a search warrant.
45.
I've got some grapes and some strawberries.
The one you want to talk to? Yeah, she supposedly told my wife that she saw something and she didn't want to talk about it.
I know.
He's there. He comes out. And I think he shook my hand and I'm like, you know, hey, Tyler, nice to meet you and whatnot.
It's 8 at night. I've been buried in an edit since morning. And I finally look up and realize nobody has thought about dinner. Nothing thawed. No plan. That stopped happening once my freezer had Omaha steaks in it. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, seafood, chicken, and sides delivered straight to my door. It's like having a trusted butcher and a gourmet food shop at home. And no more gambling on unknown brands. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation over 100 years. The same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped frozen and ready to grill, sear, or roast. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices, and your family will think dinner took hours. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. 5 distinct cuts, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Listener, most of us picked a bank at 16 and never looked back. That's where Chime comes in. Chime is changing the way people bank. They're not like traditional old banks that charge fees and gatekeep perks and rewards. Chime offers the most rewarding, fee-free banking, all with no overdraft fees. No monthly fees, no minimum balance fees. You get 5% cash back on a Chime card in a category of choice, like gas or groceries, all while building credit through everyday spending with no credit check. Your savings rate is 9 times the national average. And if you're ever in a pinch, SpotMe lets you overdraft up to $200 fee-free. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to Chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura. Sign up now. That only takes a few minutes. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Qualifying direct deposits required. Terms and limits apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
He just goes straight in the door and picks up Ashley's guitar and goes and hikes his leg up on the damn trampoline and starts looking at the moon and playing guitar. And I'm like, Ashley, what in the fuck is he doing? Can we just go inside? I don't want to hear this prick playing or something. You know, just something. He stops and he come over there to pull us apart. And I just rear back and punched him in the side of the head. And I had told her, he needs to go. You know, you need to get this done and get it done. Get him on the road. You know, last couple weeks she told me she had made her decision. He did have to go, and this time it was for good. She said, I will be alone.
And then this other guy, a man, and I talked with my wife about it. I said, I don't understand why somebody that supposedly has got their living already set, you know, they ain't even got to work for a living, to start seeing somebody that has four kids, that he has no kids. I said, the only thing I can think of is maybe he's a damn child. That sounds suspicious to me, you know?
Okay, if I record, just help me keep everything in track, so.
My biggest thing is I want to know who you are, because that's very important. We need to know who Ashley is. That's very important. It's not just the events of what happened tonight. It's the whole totality of the history with you guys, because that's going to help best explain everything that led up to where we're at. I'm gonna tell you that you remember the saying, "The truth will set you free." The truth will set you free in here. It's up to you. I can't make you. I would love to know. We would all love to know, just for the sake of you. And for the sake of Ashley, obviously.
I mean, I feel like giving a statement just because I'm here. I don't know how long we wait for a lawyer to get here or whatever, but I just wanted to talk about what happened, you know, tonight. So I don't know if that's, you know.
I think it's important. Okay. Because right now we've got, obviously,
I think I need to tell what happened. I left about 6 p.m. So around 6 p.m. I'm not even quite sure when it was when I called the actual police department and called 911. What I had left it as, there were four children in the house and a woman. The woman and I had an altercation with a loaded weapon, and she had a bullet. Never initiated like violent contact on her like that. I'm not the one that pulled the gun. Like, I don't have the gun. I don't want the gun. I don't want to end disputes with a gun.
No intention to shoot Ashley.
No, I've never had. I don't want to take a mother away from her four kids. Like, that's not my thing.
Nearly everything Tyler Derichowski did and said in police custody that night was recorded. The body camera from the evening is out there, and so are 2.5 hours of interview. The body camera begins in the Burke's Outlet parking lot, where Officer Cameron Smith collected him. Smith read him his rights in the patrol car, and Derichowski, freshly told he could remain silent, talked the whole ride. He laid out both altercations the night before and that evening. He explained the custody paperwork, and that he had been staying overnight in violation of it, that he had threatened to tell her ex-husband the truth. He said she had pulled her gun the night before and again that evening, that they were in the bathroom, that they started fighting, and that it went off. And according to him, it went off by itself.
Close the door. I lock the bedroom door to the bedroom so the kids don't go in there. I had emptied out the gun. It was empty, and I left it there, and I went out. I didn't know what the fuck to do. I'm sorry. I wasn't perfect. The kids were there. There's a 9-year-old there that's really responsible and was watching the kids. The neighbors were outside across the street, or I had seen neighbors outside at one point across the street. I felt like I just needed to go and be like, this just happened. So I drove to the parking lot down the street and just called 911.
And she's got how many kids?
Four kids.
Were they all at the house tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
I was married for years, and I felt like a man of honor, and I had a ring on, and I was proud of it. I was proud to be married. I was proud to be a good husband, and I fell into this weird relationship that I never wanted, you know, to be in. I've never wanted to be a part of, and I just went down this road that I just kind of felt like I could never escape from. I was, like, drowning in it, you know? And so I'm just, like I was able to divorce in Oregon, you know? It went through in just a couple months, and it was finalized and it was done. Her thing has been a year.
Right.
It takes a year for them to, like, do the separation process and everything. And so we've just been kind of in that whirlwind of back and forth with everything and stuff. And I've thought about leaving multiple times. I've wanted to leave multiple times just because it's kind of too much to just take, being like, am I taking this woman away from... Am I taking this man away from four kids, like his four kids, whatever? I just have felt a lot of guilt in my life in this relationship.
Never become physical. Has she ever hit you, struck you, kicked you, slapped you?
Slapped a couple times, just kind of slapped with things. shoes or something like that. She's hitting me with like shoes and stuff.
Anger?
Frustration, yeah.
She hits you hard?
I mean, just like a, I mean, I don't want to sound like a D. I mean, she just slapped me with like a, with her like slippers. You know,
we're talking about
it, like, it's kind of like that across the, when she was mad about something. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, like the way I picture is like if my wife's agitated with me or aggravated with me, she pops me with something.
Yeah.
Are we saying something like that, or are we saying she aggressively,
no,
like you?
No, pops you with something. I'm saying middle ground of that, just kind of like pissed about something, but just that's how she's reacting to it. But she wasn't like overly like, I'd never seen a level of aggression to this with a gun. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea. I've never seen her do anything, pull any shit like that ever. I didn't even know she could. And so our relationship was really falling out here. And I threatened to tell him the truth when I was getting ready to leave. I was going to call her husband and be like, I have to spend the night here. I don't know what legal ramifications it's going to have for you guys in your life and your world. This, I've been in this relationship with you. This relationship has hurt me in a lot of ways. I've sacrificed a lot of things. And for me to go and have closure, I think that, like, I'm just going to let John know the whole truth. I think he deserves to know the truth. I'm sorry. It was kind of an ugly ending for both of us, this woman and I. She has a loaded gun, or she has a gun in her drawer next to the bed. And I was in the bedroom talking with her, and she loaded her gun and cocked it back and basically told me that she wasn't going to let me call and tell. And so this just went to like 1,000, like 0 to 1,000 in like one blink of an eye. I'm like in the bedroom talking with her, having a normal conversation, and she's like loading a gun in front of my face, and she has a pistol. Like literally packing some stuff, putting some stuff in the drawers. I wasn't doing shit. I didn't hit her. I wasn't like fighting her or anything. I was just talking. And she like loaded her gun and was pointing at me. I just know that like that's where that started from. And I'm not saying that to dig myself in the grave. Like, oh, the past, he never saw it happen and now she did it. That sounds like bullshit. No, she did it though. I'm a man. I'm a lot stronger than her. I was aggressive, but it was like, she's shot that gun before. She knows what the fuck she's doing with it. I don't shoot guns. I didn't, like, barely ever shot a gun in my life. And so the whole way it happened, I feel like for me, I didn't mean to do anything. I didn't mean for her to do anything. It was like, basically felt like it was like just fighting for my life. And I feel like it was like, this is how it ended.
The story he built was a fight for his life. He and Ashley had struggled over the gun, he said, moving it around at each other. And the fight went to the ground. He described his position behind her, attempting what he himself called a chokehold. Against his story stood a small tiled room. Detective Cooley walked that room. On the vanity sat a hairdryer, a hairbrush, and a toothbrush, undisturbed. Towels hung from their rack, a jewelry stand hung on the wall. A shampoo caddy and laundry basket stood upright. In the toiletries sat where they had been set down. There was no broken glass, no damage to the walls. No blood anywhere except beneath her head, and no mark of any kind on the body of the man who claimed a fight for survival had happened there. Nothing in the room hinted at a struggle.
Okay, how long from the time she came into the bathroom to where it escalated to the point she gets shot? Talking about seconds or minutes?
2 minutes, probably.
Talk to me
just
about
struggling.
There's 2 minutes.
Talk just to me fighting, about trying to. It's a combination of talking, moving the gun around each other. Just like I'm trying to grab her, I'm trying to hold on to her. It's just like it was just felt like it was like fight for survival. I don't know what was going on. Felt like she was going to kill me.
So at no point you stripped the gun from her and had the gun in your hand totally.
Not until it was over. Not until she was on the ground.
Were you on top? Was she on top?
Behind.
You were behind,
like kind of like this, like kind of trying to do like a chokehold shit thing or something. She was like trying to get the gun to me, so it was just in our general facial areas.
Okay.
After the shot, what happens?
I stood there and I couldn't believe what the fuck happened. And the first thing I thought of was the. Kids, I have to call somebody. I have to get someone here. I have to stand up for what I've done.
The physical facts assembled the sequence. Ashley was right-handed, and her right hand was busy with her phone, so any gun she supposedly wielded would have been in her weaker left hand. The wound was on the right side of her head, behind the ear. It was a contact wound. The muzzle had been pressed against her skin when it fired. The escaping gas tore the skin in the star pattern that pathologists know at a glance. There was soot inside the wound, and the gun left the imprint of its own muzzle on her. The bullet traveled right to left, and went into the floor beneath where the left side of her head lay, which put her head down against the floor when the shot came. A long black hair, consistent with hers, was found trapped in the slide of the pistol, caught by the mechanism as it cycled against her head.
Well, do you feel like it probably just got out of hand?
Yes. I think our whole relationship is out of hand, and I think that I've never had someone do that to me. I've never had someone get that mad at me that they load a weapon in their house. The kids were asleep. It was two nights ago, and she cocks it back, and she's standing there, like, all cocky looking at me like she's going to, like, she knows what she's going to do with it.
I mean, why not? If this lady's got a gun, why not just get the hell out of there?
Because she had never done anything like this before. The other night, two nights ago, I don't even know why I let that go. I should have left the house. I guess, is it fair to, like, say I was afraid for my life, though?
Yes.
Like, is that fair to say that? I mean, I feel like the dude, the cop out there was like, you're a big dude. And I feel like it's not fair if it's like, you look like you could handle yourself. You could have just, like, punched her in the face or, like, kicked her or something or, like done something. And I'm like, I don't fucking know, man. You, one bullet goes off and you're fucked.
Yeah.
So I just felt like it was, like, for me, it's not about that.
That's right.
It's about a fight. It was a fight for literally, like, she, I don't know what the fuck she's going to do. She threatened me that night. So now I'm just, like, I don't even know. It just feels like it was an accident. I didn't try to murder anybody. I didn't try to kill anyone. I don't know how, I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know. I worked in the medical field and I know that it's not good. I know that.
We're still missing some things that I feel that you're kind of rushing through.
Processing today. I just want to feel like I'm like someone's like on like kind of listen like on my side.
On your side, right?
No, but I'm not trying to.
I get what you're saying.
I know. I've seen this in the movies. I know what I'm trying to do. Like, it's like the more I tell now, it's like the better it looks. Like the more I just tell now, it's like. But I'm getting to that place where it's like we're at like the heart of everything that happened. I'm trying to be really careful with like. If I fuck up or if I say something stupid, I don't know what, the more I talk, I feel like the more it's like going to look like, oh man, dude, I'm trying to explain the best I can of what happened. Right now, the whole world, if they know what just happened, is probably like, that guy's a piece of shit. So I'm like, feel really alone where I like don't have anyone. My family's not here. No one's here. I understand that Ashley's not here either. And I'm trying to process that shit right now.
At trial, the prosecutor lay down on the courtroom floor in the position she was found in. Detective Cooley confirmed, point by point, that the defendant's struggle could not produce that geometry. For his story to be true, the gun in her left hand would have had to travel around her own face to press itself behind her right ear while her head lay on the ground and a man twice her size rode her back. The Smith & Wesson carried roughly five separate safety features, and it would not fire if dropped from a roof or kicked across a room. To discharge it, a round had to be chambered by racking, and the trigger had to be depressed correctly by a finger. Dr. Christopher Tape, who performed the autopsy, called the death a homicide and explained, a contact wound like this one, he said, is what he sees in suicides. But the gun was not in her hand and not at her side, so it was a homicide by default. A second forensic pathologist, Dr. Terry Welk, reviewed everything independently and landed in the same place. This was not an accident. It was not a suicide. Tyler Durachowski was found guilty of second-degree murder. Under Louisiana law, the sentence was mandatory, and the court imposed it. Life imprisonment at hard labor without benefit of parole, probation, or suspension of sentence. Ashley Fish spent her last hour on dinner and on a call between her daughters and their father, keeping her house calm around a man she could not move. 28, rebuilding for the second time, patient till the end. The man who killed her will die in Louisiana, in the state he spent 2 years trying to escape, at hard labor, in a sentence with no road out of it. Ashley said he wouldn't leave. She was right twice. On the 7th of April, 2022, the oldest inheritance this state has came for a 28-year-old mother of four, whose only demand was a man's absence. The pine stood still in the heat while it happened, as they stood through the strip, as they stood through Grabow. Whitaker Cemetery keeps her in the soil of her town. Rain comes up from the Gulf most weeks of Louisiana spring, and it falls warm over the red clay earth. There is blood in the dirt.